In this world, we have our troubles. Sometimes lonesome, sometimes blue. But the hope of life eternal brightens all our hopes anew. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. No, I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. But I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Lord, I'm growing worn and weary. There's no place that seems like home. Jesus, come my soul to ferry, where I never more shall roam. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. I am longing for the coming of my Savior, Lord and King. And seems I hear my loved ones singing a new song I'd like to sing. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted on that last verse. And I am longing for the coming of my Savior, Lord and King. And seems I hear my loved ones singing a new song I'd like to sing. And I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Oh, no, I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm gonna go there sooner or later. Want to get adjusted.
I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Hey, that's a great song. What a broadcast today. I am excited. I am really excited. We're going to talk about the Father that gave His Son. The Father that gave His Son. I'm going to show you that one of the big false doctrines of our day, and this doctrine is sweeping over a lot of Pentecost, is the doctrine of Jesus only, or the oneness doctrine. Some call it the, by different names. I won't try to name them all. Apostolic is one of the names you will hear. But all these names deal with the idea that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are only titles, and that there's only one in the Godhead, and that's the Lord Jesus. That Jesus only is their idea of the Godhead. So they deny the Father that gave His Son. I don't know how they get around that. That's the golden text of the Bible. I'm telling you, that's the golden text of the Bible. But I'm going to give you a number of scriptures, and we're going to talk about this together, and we're going to do it without demeaning anybody. We're not demeaning these people. We're not demeaning, you know, anybody that's involved in a different doctrine of the Bible from truth. We're not demeaning them at all. Well, I guess when you say they're not in the Bible truth, that they've departed from the doctrines of the Bible, they may consider that demeaning them. But I don't mean it that way. I mean it as a way to protect you. and to keep you from allowing doctrines that are questionable from becoming part of your theological or your biblical thinking. Now, there are three major doctrines today that are bad in that they have departed from the Bible. Let me give you these three. These are probably the worst of all the bad doctrines out there in the church. The Bible believing, supposedly, Bible believing church. These are the three worst. Let me name them for you. One is the Jesus only. That's really a horrible doctrine. I'm going to prove that to you. Then the next one is the limited atonement, that only a certain class of people, limited, can be born again, can be saved. Well, that is really terrible to think that there's multitudes all over the world, the majority really, who are not part of that faith, that religious view. I presume they're all lost. You know, no, Jesus died for everybody. Well, that's in the golden text I'm fixing to read. And the other of the bad doctrines is that doctrine which denies the pre-tribulation rapture, that Jesus will come before the 7 years of the great tribulation. Those three false doctrines, I think, cover the worst out there. The very worst. And if you're in any one of them, let me help you. Not be your enemy. I want to be your friend. But let me help you. And so you will be able to call this broadcast now, you know, later on, the same number that you hear here is the number of our office. And we want you to know, really, with all of our heart, that we love you and that we are committed to the wonderful truths of the Bible. And I would give my life to stand for the Word of God. I tremble at the Word of God. Isaiah says that the people that God looks at and that God takes attention to are those that tremble at the Word of God. And I'm one of those that trembles at the Word of God. Now, let's go to John chapter 3, the golden text of the Bible, and let's look at the whole scripture there, several verses, and we'll start with verse, 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever, and notice that word, whosoever, boy, that forever destroys the limited atonement doctrine, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Notice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, you know, God couldn't give himself in this case, because then there would be nobody in heaven to keep charge of the great celestial kingdom. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him or in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. God, the Father, sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That the world. Now, both of those doctrines that I named, the first two, are very well solidified right here as being false. And that is, God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And it was God the Father that gave his Son. It was his Holy Spirit that moved upon Mary, the mother of Jesus in the physical, and she was so anointed and so moved upon by the Holy Spirit that she bore in her womb, without knowing a man, the very Son of God who had come into the world to save. Now, we'll go to that scripture in a little bit. And you can see in these great verses, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on him is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Notice how he emphasizes Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. I read that earlier this morning, and I just shouted in my heart as I thought about a Father who so loved his world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him and on him, both, Whosoever believeth on him and in him, both now, that's named in the scripture, they might have eternal life. And they cannot be brought into condemnation because they have believed on him who was sent by the Father to be his Messiah, his Redeemer in his world that was bound with sin and shackled by the darkness of hell. Well, it's a joy to bring to you the Father that gave his Son. The Father that gave his Son. That scripture is all I need. And I think it should be the scripture that would be all anyone would need. How do you explain away that God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten? Notice those words, only begotten. Now, that means the Son of God, as the Savior, had to be begotten. And that's what the Holy Spirit did. He begot him. He begat him in Mary, the mother. You know, all of this ties together such wonderful truth that to get away from it takes a twist of the mind and a twist of the ideas and the twisting of the scripture. And you don't play footloose with the scripture. You don't play fancy free with the scripture. You stay right in the Bible. Every word. The Bible says not one jot or tittle shall pass away till all be fulfilled. So you don't deal with the jots and the tittles in the Bible. That would be a jot and a tittle, and would be denying a jot and a tittle if you remove from this scripture the fact that he was the Son of God. The Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that breathtaking? I hope that does for your spirit and soul what it does for mine. It sets me on fire. It gives me a joy that is almost inexpressible and inexplainable. I love the truth of this Bible. Now, let's not just stay there. Let's move on to the book of Hebrews, which is one of those great books written by Apostle Paul. I love the book of Hebrews very much. It is a book of great value, of great value. And you never want to depart from these great truths of the Bible. They must be your life. You must live on them and depend on them and never depart from them. I love every one of them. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. Hebrews 1 and verse 4 says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath the inheritance, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, God the Father gave Jesus a name when he arrived back in heaven after his redemption and his resurrection. And God the Father gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Now, it was God, the Bible said, who gave Jesus this exalted position when he arrived back after redeeming the world by his blood on the cross. Now, the Father did that. The Father gave him this name. That's what the Bible said. The Father gave him this name above every name, above the name of all the angels of heaven. Hallelujah. So Jesus became this Redeemer by his death and by his sacrifice, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, you know, the Father gave him this more excellent name than the angels. The Father exalted him to this beautiful, exciting position, for unto which of the angels said God at any time, said he, that's God, at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Listen to that. Listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying here in the writings of Apostle Paul, Hebrews chapter 1. Let me read that, verse 5 again, chapter 1, by the way. And unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again he said, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now that's the word of God by the Holy Ghost speaking to us. And it said very clearly that God said that by him, that is by Christ, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now, how do you deny that relationship of the Father and the Son as distinctly two individuals speaking within the Trinity of the Godhead? Oh, it's beautiful stuff. It's beautiful truth. I want to read that again. For under which of the angels said God the Father at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. I mean, you can't get away from such theological revelations as these. These are revelations from God. Not one word, not one jot or tittle. The Bible says if you change one word in my book, I will take away from you your part in the kingdom of God. That's in Revelation 22. I mean, the Bible is so plain in these great truths that to play footloose and fancy free with them is a dangerous thing to do. It's dangerous. I don't think you can be saved and believe such doctrine. And now I'm going to be careful with that because I could be wrong in some cases. Maybe somebody is so naive or so ignorant of truth and so unable to understand truth and to, you know, dissect it in their mind, in their head. I don't know. I don't want to be too judgmental. But I want to tell you that as I understand the faith, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside of me. I know there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that comes later. When I was saved, I had all of him. When I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he had all of me. And that was a process of coming to that. It took a couple of years for me to get there. But at some point, I came to it. Not only did I have him, but he had me. But when I had him, he immediately began to open the scripture up to me. And I began to understand the Bible. And it became so real to me. And I've never departed from one basic scripture of the Bible in my 66 years. I don't even mess with those other scriptures. Somebody will call me and say, I think you need to study my doctrine because you may find that it's all right and it's good. And I said, no. I spend my time studying the truth. I just stay in the Bible. I stay in the truth. And I know it's real. And I know you can depend upon it. I like that verse 5. I got to read it one more time. Under which of the angel said, he, God, that's God, at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. You can't get away from that. That's so real. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, and let all the angels of God worship him. I mean, he charged his angels now. I brought you into the world, and I want you to worship him. And of the spirit of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels, maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, that is quotes from Psalms Division 2, and it's powerful. It's powerful. Now, those doctrines, those scriptures are strong enough to lay the line down, friend, that we have a God who reveals himself as a Father and as a Son and as the Holy Spirit. And they are distinct personalities within the unity of the Godhead. They are perfectly united and perfectly bound together. So you never see the action of one without finding in some perimeter the action of the other. Because they operate in perfect unison. Absolute unity. Perfect unity. And they even have their own language. Did you know that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost have their own language? Oh, Brother Chambers, now I never heard that. Well, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. It says, whosoever speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. You don't understand a man who's talking in the language of the Holy Ghost and the Father and the Son. This is their language. I believe it was the language given to Adam and Eve in the garden and that disappeared when God confused them at the Tower of Babel and gave to the language, to the people of the world a multiplicity of languages. Oh, it's all beautiful because God is a perfect God and operating in perfect unison and perfect likeness, and he even said when he created man, let us make man. Who could he be talking to but the Son and the Spirit? Let us make man. Oh, you can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you find the Trinity everywhere you look. I mean, it's amazing how evident the Trinity is throughout the pages of the Bible. And of course, it's magnified in the New Testament, the Second Testament. It's magnified over and over and over. Jesus plainly said, I come not to do my will, but the will of my Father. How can you have a will in the Son and then a different will in the Father, or the possibility of that? There was no division and there was no different will, because the Son came not to do his own will, but the will of his Father. And so there was never any division. He often would say, I don't speak to you what I'm thinking. I speak to you what the Father told me to say. I mean, over and over, you've got this kind of language throughout the New Testament, that God the Father and God the Son in their relationship that was so perfect, one with the other. Now, I got so much further to go, but right now I want to stop and take a minute. I want everybody that's one of my friends to share this broadcast right now. I wish I'd told you that earlier, because I'd like to have at least 100 of my friends to right now share the broadcast. Are you listening? Please don't ignore me. I want you to go do it right now. It won't take you but a minute. Lay your hand on your computer. Get that mouse in your hands and go to where it says share and share it. I think you have to then say something a second time to make sure it shares, okay? And go do that. And get that to everybody you can, because people need to know. There are many doctrines out there. And I know some wonderful people who are all confused with the Jesus-only doctrine. I know wonderful people all confused with the limited atonement doctrine and the denial of the pre-tribulation rapture. And I'm out to help those people. I would give my life for any one of them. I'm not their enemy. I'm not trying to be mean and ugly and dogmatic. I just believe the Bible, and I live by the Bible, and I'm awed by the Bible. It is such a blessed and wonderful book. Now, let's go on. Let me give you the phone number also. I want to answer questions. I really want to take time today to get a number of people who have some idea or confusion, or you know what has been taught, and you want to clarify what I'm saying, and give you scripture to back it up. Now, I don't say nothing I can't prove with the Bible, and I'll give you scripture to back it up. So I hope you will at least call me and let me share with you. Let me answer your question. Let's inquire into what is available for us to talk about and see. You know, it's beautiful when you study the Bible. It is one of the most exciting books in all the world. It really is. And I want you to hear everything I'm saying. And I want to get it through to you strong and powerful. And I want you to grab your phone and call me at 704-391-0588. Let me put the numbers up for a moment. I'm not going to leave it long now. I want you to see them. 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. And I have this booklet that I will give you, everybody listening, the Father that gave his Son. This is a booklet. It's very, very impacting. It has plenty of information. You can prove to anybody. You put that in somebody's hand, and if they are open-minded and they love the Bible and they believe the plain teaching of the Scripture, they'll have no trouble throwing that false doctrine out and getting right into the Word of God as it is. And it's so important for you. You can't grow in your spiritual life if you don't have the truth. You can't grow in your spiritual life if you don't have the truth. I really believe that. And I love to get the truth in people's hand because I'm committed to it. In Australia, maybe you're listening. In New Zealand, maybe you're listening. In some of the northern parts of Russia, southern parts of Africa, you know, wherever over there, England, you're listening. Please text me. Send me a text. You got it there, jrc@paulcreek.org. If you want a copy of this, just send your address along with your text. And I promise you, you will get what you want from us to try to be a blessing to you and help you walk in the truth of God's wonderful Bible, his wonderful Word. Now, you have the numbers. If you written them down, I want to remove them so you can see me better. Oh, wow. That was crazy. Well, I do it anyway. At least I get a little fun out of it. They tell me I got a face for radio, where you can't see me. Well, whatever. Mama thought it was okay for television, but Mama's not here to argue for me, so I have to argue for myself. You like that, okay? All right, I want to get a call from you. Grab your phone. Ladies are standing by, and we will take your question. We'll send you this booklet, and I'll answer your question right over the air, live. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. When I tell you I believe something, I believe it to the point I can back it up. I've dug into it. I've studied it. So you're not going to call me and catch me unaware. I'm going to be ready. Now let's go in the meantime to Matthew 3 and 17. Matthew 3 and 17. I want to give you a picture here. The Bible is so real that if you believe something and you really believe it, you can back it up in the Bible. If you can't back it up in a multiplicity, in most cases, a multiplicity of scriptures, then you need to be careful what you believe. I believe you ought to back it up throughout the Word of God. I really do. Let's go to Matthew 3. Jesus has taken his disciples up on the mountain. I'm going to take a call before I do this because I want to get people in. You call, please, and I will hear you and answer. You are on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Well, during the new time, Canada.
Okay.
Yes, I'm calling through with Jesus only.
Okay.
Are they the same as United Gospel people?
They say what now?
Are they the same church, the United Gospel Church?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I guess I didn't get your question, sir. Your voice is a little bit different for me. Say that again.
Okay, you were talking about United Pentecostals, there Jesus only as well?
Yes, I believe in Jesus only. I believe Jesus only is a very false doctrine. I'm believing the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yes, that's the same as oneness in the Gospels. You know those?
Oneness, the same thing. The oneness people are the same as the Jesus only.
So they're wrong in their teaching and preaching?
Absolutely. The Father gave his Son. How does the Father give his Son if he's the same person?
I believe that you believe as well.
You believe in the Trinity?
I'm a Trinitarian, yes.
Okay, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See, there's different names that the oneness people go by. Jesus only, oneness, another one I named while ago, apostolic. Those are the three names I know of, and there may be others. Because different ones of them have a different concept. I remember listening one time to a man, William Branham, and he was probably one of the great forces of that false doctrine many years ago. I think he died in 70-something. But he believed that Jesus was not the Son of God until he was baptized by John in the River of Jordan and the Holy Spirit come upon him. And he said, I heard him say with my own ears on one of his tapes that Jesus is not eternal. How could he be eternal if he was begotten? Well, I understand how wrong he is, and I do understand the word begotten. But there's a lot of different ideas out there. And the people I know in the Jesus-only doctrine are, in most cases, not always, very confused people. And you can't talk with them. They won't listen to nothing you say. They're not reasonable. And, you know, if whatever you believe, you ought to be reasonable with everybody.
Yeah, they tell the people this way. They'd have to be baptized over in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. I believe in the name of Jesus, too. But Jesus himself said, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And if Jesus said that, nobody has a right to change it.
No, I agree with you 100%, sir.
Thank you, sir, and God bless your heart. Now, give us a call. I'd love to have anybody that will to call me, and I will do my best to help you, okay? That dear man already believed in the truth. He just wanted some. He didn't know there was different names that they go by, apparently. That's what it sounded like to me. But Jesus only, oneness, apostolic, those are the three names I hear that all apply to that. But I can tell you this. You can't study this Bible and not know that God the Father had a Son and God the Son had a Father. I mean, that's so wonderful. All right, let's go to Matthew 3, St. Matthew chapter 3. Here's a wonderful place where Jesus was baptized. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Now, what does that do to that doctrine of the William Branhams that say Jesus didn't become the Son of God until he was baptized? Well, that was said before he was baptized. Listen now, let me read it again. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so. For thus it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or baptized him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, listen now, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and abiding upon him. So here was Jesus being baptized. John didn't want to baptize him because he said, it behooves me to be baptized of you. So he recognized his divinity, saw right off that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. And then as John baptized him, then the Holy Ghost came down from heaven, descended and abode upon him, the Bible says. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now listen to that. Here is Jesus coming to John to be baptized. John baptizes. The Holy Ghost descends out of heaven and descends down and abodes upon him, settles over Jesus, abode over him, upon him. And then the Father out of heaven spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, Jesus would have to be a magician doing the ridiculous things of a demon-possessed magician to have done these things in the manner in which they were done. The Holy Ghost is a person, and the Holy Ghost descended like a dove. Not looking like a dove, but in a style in which, like the dove descends, a beautiful kind of descent, and abode upon Jesus. But then the Father spoke all the way out of the heavens and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, that alone would give you no possible reason to doubt the Trinity. I mean, that's just impossible to doubt that beautiful picture that you get right there. It's overwhelming. It's exciting. In fact, it's beautiful. That's how all of the Bible is. When you take the Bible in its proper order and you believe the proper scripture and you live by the proper scripture, you'll have no trouble with these crazy ideas that don't make any sense. They really don't. They don't make any sense. To try to eliminate the Trinity is a foolish effort on the part of unlearned people that just have no discernment. No discernment. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. I'm not going to follow them old doctrines because I know what his voice says. And I can sense in my spirit when the Bible is spoken. And you know, if you get in a church and you got somebody preaching some old crazy mess, you can immediately sense that too. Because God is a perfect God. I mean, he is perfect. Now, I got so much of my time just flying. We're going to go to Matthew 17:5. Matthew 17:5. Now, again, I want to invite you to call. I want to answer your question. I really do. I don't want anybody to let this broadcast be finished and not have a good answer for your understanding of the scripture. I really want you to have the truth written up on your heart. Now, the book of Matthew again, 17:5. 17:5. Listen carefully, because this is another beautiful time in the life of Christ in which he reveals who he was. He takes three of his disciples and he goes up on the mountain called the Transfiguration. And he takes them with him to see what is going to occur. Let me begin with verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with Jesus. Then answered Peter and said unto the Lord, it is great to be here, for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, Old Peter was always quick to say something. He thought with his mouth instead of his mind. I'm bad for that. Thinking with my mouth, you know. I've been in trouble a few times in my life thinking with my mouth. Well, that's what Peter was doing, his thinking with his mouth. Let's just make three tabernacles. Build three big old churches up here. Three old tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elias. While he yet spake, while Peter yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the clouds, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, the voice spoke out of the cloud. The cloud was God's manifest glory. The glory of the Father appeared like a cloud covering the mountain. And God spoke out of the cloud. Now, Jesus is down here with his disciples. And God speaks out of the cloud and says, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Again, to twist that. And to make that the same person casting their voice like a ventriloquist off of the clouds or out of the clouds down to the earth to try to give himself, this would be what a false person would do. This would be what a false prophet will do. We got folks in our day, false prophets, and they can do signs. They can do some paranormal things, not supernatural, but paranormal things. And they do it to give themselves legitimacy. If Jesus would have done this, it would have made him a false prophet, and he would be trying to use some kind of false gift out of the clouds to authenticate himself so that he could fool them into being somebody he wasn't. No, this was, God the Father acting in his majestic honor, his majestic sovereignty, and speaking out of the glory. See, that cloud represent the glory of God. God was in that cloud. God was in that cloud. It was his manifest presence. His manifest presence. Hear me now. Oh, I'm praying for that again in our day. So the manifest presence of God. And I'm looking for it. I'm expecting it. I mean, you just keep listening to this program. You're going to hear things. You're going to hear things I think that's going to bless your soul. Because we are believing, we are praying with all our heart for God to do some things that will be evidence, proofs of who God is and his majestic power. And it won't be some show. It won't be something done for somebody's glory. You say, well, you think God will ever use you? Well, I'm a nobody. And if God's going to use anybody, he's going to use a nobody. Because God must have all the glory. And so if he used some big television evangelist, they'd get the glory. If he used some big writer, they'd get the glory. But if he uses a nobody, then God gets the glory. And that's all I would want. I'd want God to get the glory. Are you listening to me? So God spoke out of the cloud of his manifest presence, Jesus on the earth. He was glorified now. His face was shining like the sun. I mean, his disciples was overwhelmed by what they were seeing. They saw Christ in his divine glory. They saw him in his manifest presence. They saw him with the shine of God on him, like the sun shining. And they overwhelmed. And then they hear God, the Father, speaking out of the cloud up above. Oh, you can't get around that kind of truth. Those things are just blessed and overwhelming, and they prove beyond any measure, any doubt, any question, the wonderful truth of God. Are you getting that? Now, I want to open the lines again because I really do want to answer some questions. And I don't know how many are calling. I want to give you this free booklet, okay? You say, Brother Chambers, I don't want to learn about that false doctrine. You need to learn. One day, one of your kids will walk in and they'll tell you that you need to change your belief that God's just one and that there's not a triune Godhead. You know that there are big names now. Big names. T.D. Jakes is the Jesus only. T.D. Jakes, understand me, hear me. All my wonderful, wonderful Afro-American friends, listen to me. T.D. Jakes is a false prophet. He's always been a Jesus only man, but now he's even endorsing homosexuality and accepting the homosexuals in their lifestyle now, not homosexuals repenting. I accept them when they repent and turn from their sins always. It don't matter what you are, when you repent of your sin and come to Christ, then you are to be accepted in the house of God when you change your life, though. You don't go back to that sin. You don't live in those sins. sins. You live in the grace of God and the righteousness of Christ, sanctified and set apart. And so T.D. Jakes in his false doctrine is going after other things. And you will find among most people in the Jesus only a kind of effeminate spirit. Kind of soft, effeminate spirit of Jezebel is really what it is. And it's out there big time. And so I beg of you, stay away and please get this. Please get this. I want you to have it, and you have to call right now. It'll be on the internet for people who are listening by internet within maybe an hour. And you'll be able to hear it and to read it. But I want to send it even to you. You ought to have it in your Bible. It'll be on a booklet form this size, fit right into your Bible. You can take it with you. Maybe your Sunday school class needs a copy. Maybe your congregation needs a copy. If you're in Africa, or you're in Australia, you're in New Zealand, you're in somewhere in northern Russia, any part of Russia, England, any part of Europe, South America, South Africa, order a copy and make copies of it then and give it to your entire congregation. You have my permission to make all the copies you want to make and give it to your congregation, because I want people to know the truth. I want them to have the truth, and I want you to teach them the truth, and I want to fill your minds with the truth, because it will bless your life when you are filled with the truth. Now, the number to call, let me give you that again. Some of you may have just joined us. I love to keep you abreasted. Here's the number, 701-491-0588, or 1-800-338-7884. There's an international number, 011-704-391-0588, and then there's my email, jrc@paulcreek.org. And I'm here to be a blessing to you. I really am. Now, I want to go a little further. You got to remember, to attack the Father is such a dangerous thing. The Bible warns against people who attack the Father. And in one scripture, I didn't locate that and get it fixed in my little mind. It mentions that there are two that bear witness in heaven, the Father and the Son. I love that. Two that bear witness in heaven. Isn't it amazing how full the scripture is on any doctrine that is the doctrine of the truth? Now let's go to St. John 14:1. This is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. St. John 14. Well, I like to start with 1. Well, it's 1 and 14, not 14. Okay, sorry about that. St. John 1. Let me just read several verses in this great chapter. This is really exciting. In the beginning was the Word. That Word is Jesus. You'll find that out here in a minute. That's a capital W. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was both with God, and he was God too. He was with the Father, but he was God as the Father was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Those five verses at the beginning of St. John 1 are just overwhelming. But let's go to verse 14. And the Word, that's that W, capital W, you saw in verse 1, saw it several times. And the Word was made flesh. And the Word, the Son of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Notice again, begotten of the Father. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. What a passage. Woo. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, let me take you to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Now, this is one of those majestic passages. Wow. Majestic passage. Philippians chapter 1 verses, let me make sure I got it right here. Chapter 2, I'm sorry, verses 5. Philippians 2, give me a moment here. You see, I'm turning in the scripture. I'd like for you to see me doing that, because that's what you need to do. Live in this whole Bible. Live in this book. I'm not making it easy for me today. I'm just letting you watch me thumb through the Bible to find what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 2, And let's go, if we might, to verse 5. Now listen to this. Verse 5. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice this now. Who being in the form of God, listen, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And listen, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above all names. Given him a name which... Oh, wait a minute. I got the wrong page here. Which is above all names. Listen to that. This is the name of Jesus. Even every knee shall bow. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of tongues, of every tongue, and of every kindred, and everything in all the earth. Now, I'm telling you something, friend. Remember that. Philippians chapter 2. Begin with verse 5. What a picture. What a picture. Now, if you can't understand that, I've got more. I mean, I'm here to help you. I'm here to keep going. I would like to have some calls now. We've got about 18 minutes, 17 to 18. So grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. If you haven't ordered this booklet, I'm telling you, you must order this booklet. I want to give it to you. I want to make it my gift to you. I really do. I I'm always giving away things because I want you to have the best that's out there. I really do. You know, something I thought about today, and this is off my subject. Yeah, I'm on a rat trail. I'm in a rabbit trail, not rat. Rabbit. That was terrible. I'm on a rabbit trail. I'm gonna do a menu list of things that I'm learning to cook. From my mother, from my wife, and from my mother, and from my sisters, and from some of the greatest cooks in the world. I'm an old Southern boy from Roxbury, Bushy Fork, North Carolina, not far from Durham, about 20 miles, and it's real country in there. Kind of in between Durham and Danville, and that whole region there, we have our own language. I've quit talking most of it, but we had our own language. It was quite breathtaking. You know, it wasn't tomato, it was mata. It wasn't potato, it was tater. It wasn't door, it was dough. It wasn't more, it was mo. You know, and we had our own language, and it was something else, and it's still beautiful, really. When I hear it coming out of somebody's mouth, I just hee-haw, because it's wonderful. Well, our eating was far above our talking. I hope nobody from over there heard me. Our eating, the greatest meals in the world came from them folks, and I'm going to do you. I really am. I worked this morning on sweet potatoes. I had them last Sunday, and I'm going to have them again tomorrow for people here at our church. We, a bunch of us, eat together. And boy, I'm telling you, those folks, well, let me get off the subject here. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get on a rabbit trail, but I do that when I preach sometime. If you hear me, you know that. But these great truths in the Bible about the Trinity of God are just so breathtaking. Really. And I know my time's going to be gone, but I want you to call, and I want to hear from you, and I want to answer your question, and I want to give you a copy of this booklet. Would you grab your phone right now and call and ask our ladies to send you a copy of that booklet? Grab it right now. Don't wait. 704. Come on. Don't wait. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And I want you to make sure now you share. Everybody, this last 15 minutes, they can go back and hear the rest. It'll be archived. It'll be right there on Facebook and on Internet. And, you know, it's already on radio. And we just send it everywhere. We just want to get the truth in your mind. We really do. But we want you to have a copy that you can take to church with you. You can share it with all your church family. Your own personal family, sons and daughters, need a copy. There are many people out there teaching these crazy doctrines. And I'm going to name the three bad ones again that are the worst out there. And that is the Jesus only we're talking about today denies the Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Denies that God the Father gave the Son. God the Father had to give himself. He had to cast his voice out of heaven to fool the people. Oh, you know, God isn't like that. That's also foolish. So a terrible doctrine. And then don't forget now that doctrine of limited atonement, that the majority of the world is lost and going to go to hell well. God just has this elitist group that he planned to save, and those are the only ones going to be saved. That's the most elitist sounding doctrine that could ever have been. It's nothing but a bunch of elitists who think they're better than anybody else, and they're the chosen. The rest of us are a bunch of dogs that got to go to hell. It's a bad line. It's a bad doctrine. I'm telling you, it's bad. We're going to do another program on that shortly, because there's a lot of people getting caught up in it. A lot of Southern Baptist preachers are now getting caught up in it. There are even some Pentecostals that are getting caught up in it. If you're in a church that teaches limited atonement, you ought to get out of that place. I'm here to tell you, you're sending all this multitude to hell, and they don't even have a chance. No, come on. Come on. Whosoever will, let him. Whosoever will, let him. Whosoever will, I scream it. Whosoever will, you can come to Christ and be born again and be saved and go to heaven and have eternity with God. Oh, I want you to learn that, and I want you to believe that. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers. I received your pamphlet for your book for today, this week, on hell and what the NIV says about it.
Yes.
I wanted to thank you for it and how informative it was. It really opened my mind to more things I didn't know about the NIV. I knew some things, but not everything. And I encourage the ministers, if they didn't get a copy of it, to definitely get a copy.
That was the one we did last week. How in the world could anybody get caught up in the NIV Bible? I haven't figured it out. They have to be ignorant of the real substance.
Yeah, I can't either. Especially what it said about how they didn't use the right original words for hell and death. But they used the what they call the updated words that are totally wrong.
Yes, that was the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. The Vaticanus, by the way, was in the Vatican. The Roman Catholic Vatican had been there for multitudes of years. Goes all the way back to the 2nd century. How long it's been in the Vatican, I don't know that, but I know that's where they found it. And then the other one was in the Sinai Desert. That's called the Sinaiticus. And they both come from a false scripture that was put together out of Egypt in the 2nd and 3rd century. They were doing their best, the Catholic Church, to destroy the original text. Of course, the original text was up in Antioch, where they protected it, and the Antioch manuscripts are some of the best. I went to Antioch 2 years ago, and so, I mean, it's not hard to learn how bad the NIV Bible is. It's not a translation, it's a transliteration. If you listen to that, not a translation, but a transliteration. In other words, they translated it like they thought it was meant to be. They gave it the meaning they believed. They transliterated it to mean what they thought it meant rather than what it actually said.
I thought it was interesting what you said was in there. It talked about that lady who was a feminist, a lesbian.
Yeah, you're talking about Virginia Mollenkopf.
Yeah, I've been pushing for this kind of thing for a long time, even before the NIV came out. I didn't know that.
Well, I got an interview by her on tape that I did. It's available in our office. So if you ever want it, just call the office and ask for the Mollenkopf interview on the NIV Bible.
Oh, okay, well, thank you. But I just want to thank you again for putting that
Well, I thank you, sir, for calling. And we're just here doing our best to get the truth out there at every point and place we can.
Amen.
God bless. Bye-bye. Hey, give us a call. We got 12 minutes here. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. We'd love to hear from you. Quickly, let me go with you while you're calling. Please call now. Let me go with you to the book of Revelation. I want to show you a picture of the Father and the Son that always was breathtaking to me. I mean, this is the top of the list. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, trying to find my location here while you watch me so you know how much I love this blessed old book. I love this blessed old book, folks. I love this Bible. I love it with all my heart. The book of Revelation, chapter 5. I want to read you this. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. This is Revelation 5:1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy to take this book? Who is worthy to open this book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to take, to lock, to, I'm sorry, neither to look there. Couldn't even look at it. Couldn't even look at it. And I wept much, the Bible said. I wept much because no man was found worthy. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read this book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four elders, and in the midst of the four elders, let me get that right, in the midst of the throne and of the four elders, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. A lamb, the Lamb of God, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of the Son of God. Seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he, that's the Lamb of God, that's Jesus, crucified. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Now, here is God the Father sitting on his throne. God the Father. No question. Nobody would question that. And they make out a proclamation. He's got a book in his hand. God the Father's got a book in his hand. And God the Father holds up that book, I presume. And they say, who's worthy to take this book out of the Father's right hand and to loose it and to open the seals thereof? Even to look upon it was first said. And nobody was found. And John's over there just weeping and sobbing. He's crying his little heart out. Because here's the book of the title deed of the earth. Here is the book that is the final revelation and the final proclamation of God's judgment to cleanse this world and to turn it back to the kingdom of God. This book represents the greatest actions of eternal judgment and the final revelation of the new city of Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth. All of it's in this book, in the Father's hand. And nobody could take it until this servant of God, this redeemed saint of God said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root and offspring of David, hallelujah, hath prevailed. How did he prevail? On the cross. On the cross. There he stands as the lamb that had been slain. As a lamb that had been slain. Crucito, Roma. Hallelujah to God. I felt the Holy Ghost when I said that. Whoo, did I feel him? Hallelujah. Oh, the Lamb of God had been slain, and he could open the book. So God's Son now in this glorious vision walks right up to the Father on the throne. Now, here's God the Father and God the Son, and also he named the Holy Ghost, seven spirits of God, which represents the entirety of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he goes up to the throne, and he takes the book out of the Father's right hand. And then he proceeds, and chapter 6 opens the book, and the whole process begins. Oh, it's a beautiful picture. Now, the Son alone, nobody was worthy to take that book but the Son alone. Nobody. Do you understand what Brother Chambers is trying to teach you? If what I have said today doesn't teach you the beauty of the Trinity, I would not know where to start. I would not. It's proof beyond measure. And this last picture of the Son taking the book from the Father's hand so he can start the process of the final actions of judgment and the cleansing of this earth, the city of New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. All the beauty of Revelation now is contained in this book in the Father's right hand, and Jesus Christ is the one who's prevailed as a lamb that had been slain to go up to his Father and to take that book and start the process rolling. And it's about to happen. You hear me? It's about to happen as sure as my name is Joseph. We are sitting so close to that end time that you're going to start seeing some signs and wonders. I believe we're going to get to show some of them right here on this telecast, this broadcast. And we just got to get people to thinking we are there at the final end, brother. We're so close to the coming of the Lord. It's really and literally overwhelming to me. And I can hardly wait. Now, I appreciate the calls. I got time for one or two more. You got to dial quickly, though, and the ladies will answer. But you got to order. What did I do with my little picture of that book? Oh, I got, here it is. I put it in my Bible. You got to order this book. Everything you've heard me say, heard, I'm sorry, bad English. If Juanita would have heard that, boy, she'd have got me. Everything you've heard me say right here in this book, I want you to have it in your hands. So you call right now. Don't wait. Call right now and order that. And if I can answer a question, I'm sitting here ready. You can tell I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm in this book with all my heart. We had the greatest prayer yesterday morning I've ever been part of in my life. The greatest prayer I've ever been part of in my life was yesterday morning. I went in the sanctuary a while this morning, and that great spirit of prayer was still in there, brother. Man, I felt it almost instantly when I walked in the door. Hey, don't miss church tomorrow. I'm telling you, God's doing something at this place. We're on our faces praying and seeking God. We are determined to have a breakthrough like we've never seen in our lives. I mean, really determined to have a breakthrough like we've never seen in our lives. And I want you to be a part of it. I don't want anybody in the world to miss what God's doing. I really don't. And I'm telling you. You remember now, in case you join me later, three doctrines that I'm telling you are the most dangerous doctrines in the church world. One of them, of course, is Jesus only. One is the limited atonement, that God only saves a certain limited number, and the rest cannot be saved. Nothing they say would do it. And the last is the teaching against the pre-trib rapture. Jesus will come before the 7 years begin. Jesus will come before the 7 years begin. There's no doubt in my mind. Now, I have given you some wonderful truth. I've loved it. Man, I felt it. Woo! I felt it all over my being. This room was full of the Holy Ghost, friend. And we're just out here to be a blessing. That's all we have a desire to do. Now, there are people listening to me. You've been bound with this Jesus-only doctrine. Or you've been bound with any of the other two doctrines, and you'd like to have deliverance. You'd like to be set free. See, either one of these three doctrines will make you so boggerheaded and so stubborn and so bullheaded that nobody can teach you nothing contrary to those three false doctrines. That's how false doctrines always are. They captivate you. They take control of you. They control your mind. They control your spirit. They control your soul. And to get loose from either one of those three false doctrines takes a real miracle of God's sweet Holy Spirit. And I feel that Holy Spirit. That Holy Ghost is present right now on this telecast. Right now. And He'll set you free. And if you want to be free and you just want to be open to the truth, and you will bind any spirit of false teaching, and you will open your mind to truth, and you will let me feed to you truths about these three doctrines. I'll do my best to help you. And all you're going to find in our writings is Bible, 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 Bible. It's the Bible, not me. It's the Bible, not anything in my head. I'm the least of the least as far as I'm concerned. And I just want God to be glorified. And I want truth to be exalted. And I want you to live in truth because it will change your life. Now, I've enjoyed the broadcast and time's leaving me. I always hate it when my time gives out and I got to go back, you know. I really do. I love to teach. I love to preach. I love to proclaim the Word of God. And so get your heart ready. We're going to have something for you. And don't miss tomorrow. I'd love to have you. Now, money, I need your help financially. I've got about $30,000 I'm needing to finish up everything, and we will be out of debt. And what a day, what a day, what a day. I can hardly wait. I don't know about you, but I can hardly wait. I'm supposed to have music playing here, and I haven't hit the button. Good reason not to be no music playing. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Jesus is wonderful. He cares about you. He cares about you.
His love is richer. It's deeper, fuller, and sweeter. Oh, sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Oh, it gets sweeter.
Yes, it does.
As the days go by.
It does, it does.
It gets sweeter.
Hallelujah. Can I tell you, it does get sweeter as the days go by. It's wonderful, it's rich, it's great.
It's deeper, fuller, and sweeter. Oh, sweeter, sweeter, sweeter.
One more time.
As the days go by.
It really does. Sing it out.
Oh, it gets sweeter.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
As the days go by.